Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the blind, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elvin. Elvin will score! Elvin will score! Newcastle has won!
Hello and welcome back to The Catch Up. Now, I've got someone with me today who you guys all know and love, but what you don't know is that he's a huge, huge Sean Johnson fan. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Guru.
Yeah. Wasn't that a tough break? That was a real tough reality check. And then Kat made me relive it all this morning and is doing it all again now. So that was really good. I have probably never just looked like a more out and out loser in my entire life. And you know what? I actually thought, Kat, you know what? When SJ followed me, I got excited. So I thought, you know, I'll be raw and honest with people. Just remind them that I am just a footy fan down to the core.
Yes.
And that I've still got that fanboy in me. And my God, the tables were flipped on me. I look like an idiot.
For those who missed it, do you want to give a brief rundown?
Not really.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, not really. Sean Johnson followed me on Instagram. I got the notification. And there's like, I don't know, Kat, there's like a handful of guys in this game that when they, like when you interact with them or whatever, that I get a little bit excited. Sort of, you know, SJ, your Latrell Mitchells, like the KP, the out and out superstars of the game. So I got a little bit giddy and I thought, you know what, I'm going to be raw and honest with the audience. I'm just going to tell them how it is. Just remind them once again that I am just a footy maniac at heart and a massive fanboy. Put it up there. I thought it was an omen, got on Sean Johnson to score two tries this weekend. That'll be my about even bet. And then I just got inundated with Warriors fans who screenshotted, which I don't know how much spare time you guys have, but sorting shit out, went to their page, went to his following and couldn't find me there. He's like, you're not even following you, you're making it up. And I'm like, fucking weird thing to make up. But anyway, turns out he's not. So I sort of had to backtrack and I was like, big old Narbra from SJ. Bit of a weird situation there. And I got the old pants pulled down, as one might say, which wasn't ideal.
And I just want you to know, I didn't bring that up so that you would have to relive it. I actually, it is very rare. And I spend 3 days a week here with you in the Center of Excellence. We obviously talk about footy all day long. There are very few players that you show any sign of fanboy with. You keep your cool with everyone. I just actually thought it was really nice to see you get excited over SJ and I was a bit disappointed for you.
Yeah, I thought it was nice too. And then SJ with the big old middle finger coming my way. Shout out to you, Shawnee J. I assume you're watching this because you phantom follow me. Yeah, good times.
I think it's good
to be humbled sometimes, Kat.
Yeah, I think that was a little accidental, you know, when you're scrolling through and you hit follow. He just picked the wrong guy because you went and made content about it.
Yeah, I think you might have been trying to follow NRL Roast and got the Wish version. So can't win them all.
I always thought it was the other way around.
Well, no comment, but SJ, we're coming for you. We're going to get that follow one day, like a real follow. And when I do, I'm not going to say shit about it because I am damaged goods now.
I rate it. You're not damaged goods, but I do think off the back of this, retribution in an SJ follow.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm hoping so. Okay. And I'm going to be on him to score two tries this weekend, despite what he's done to me and how he's hurt me. But, yeah, we'll see how we go.
Anyway, humbling moment to start your week.
Very good. I deserved it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the weekend and you were at the Power game. I was at the Storm game. I'm going to throw to you first because it was pretty exciting. You were down in the field zone doing your thing again.
Mm.
Do you want to tell us about it?
Field club, Kat. Sorry. How dare you? Now, if Parramatta's watching it, that's the last time you invite Katmandu there. The field club brought to you by Jim Beam. I actually had someone come up to me and say, oh, I love how you read the script every time, the best game day experience in rugby league. And little fun fact, it's not a script they've given me. It's just my opinion. I absolutely love the place. I love what Parramatta's doing with their social media at the moment, obviously. We're involved in it sort of every few weeks, which is great to see. And honestly, I took – because Kat absolutely brushed me, she gave me the old Sean Johnson Uso, and she went down to Melbourne. I was left on my own to go to the Parramatta game. So I brought my best mate with me. Shout out to – little Nico, and we went out to that game. And I actually, when I was there, I said to Nick, I've got to organise his bucks in a few months' time, Kat. And I said, would you like to do this for your bucks? And he's like, I would love to do this for my bucks. And there was a couple of boys there that were getting stuck in and whatnot. You essentially, you go via the Parramatta Eels, via CommBank Stadium. It's an area that you can go to. It costs a few a few hundred bucks, but you get free drink, you get free food. I was absolutely stuffed by the end of it, like a fat lady sock. I was all over the place. Fantastic food. It was great. Grog, Jim Beam, all flying. And then you get to stand on the actual sideline and watch the game. You've got a seat in the stands if you want, but honestly, everything you could possibly want. And just to take it to another level, Parramatta always looking to level up, Kat. They've got a ping pong table now.
Do they?
Yeah, which I'm a
big
pong.
Did you give it a go?
Guy. Yeah, I'm a big Kalen guy. Absolutely love a bit of ping ponger. So, yeah, we got stuck into that. Really good fun. The players literally run through the hey diddle diddle of the field club there as you're having your food, your drink and all that sort of stuff. Injured players walking around all over the place. It was just fantastic. And like where we were standing was directly behind the like the HIA booth.
Mm.
So it was really interesting watching how all that plays out. Every single player that subs off and comes off, they walk directly past you. They're meters away. Seeing Jason Taumalolo from 2 meters away was one of the most intimidating things of my entire life. It was fantastic in the field club. We then got to go upstairs into like the Channel 9 sort of media room and have a look up there at that unreal view. Such a good stadium, CommBank. You would have gone there for a heap of events.
Oh, I've been there so many times. And whenever it's on at CommBank, Souths are playing or anything like that, I always try to get there.
Yeah, unreal. We're at the game and we had our passes allowed us to go out onto the field at the start of the game when they ran out. So anyway, me and Nick, I said to him, just record this. We'll get some good content out of it. And there was like a line of people there that were standing there. And I just thought, oh, they must be the field club people. And because I was talking to Nick and I was doing content, I didn't really take notice. Anyway, we're standing at the end of the line and James, who's the head of social media or something at Parramatta, comes and grabs me and Nick at the end of the line. He goes, hey, I don't want to be rude, boys, but you're standing in the old boys Parramatta's tunnel. And I looked around. It was just like all the Parramatta greats. He went, can you fuck off? So we got pushed to the side of that. So we're sort of standing off to the side and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I just got asked to get out of the former players' tunnel for the Parramatta Eels. Why the hell would I put myself there?
I mean, you are the guru.
Guru, Eric Groth, was there, guru.
This was before you were humbled by SJ.
Yeah, it's been a humbling weekend. It's been a very humbling weekend. I'm then at one point standing there watching Parramatta warm up going, Mitch Moses has got a bit of carry on. He's fine. He was in his jeans and stuff, but he's kicking the ball around. He looked good. Then he got close to me. I realized it was Trent Barrett. The guy still looks like he's 18. Unbelievable.
What an adventure you had.
It was good fun. We had a very good day. The boys that won the prize, they drove down from Ballina, Brian Kelly country. They actually, some of their, it was actually funny, some of their old boys You used to play first grade for the Sharks, I think it was. So they knew a lot of these Parramatta guys. So they were actually invited into the tunnel and I was brushed out of
it. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, it was good fun. So, wow. Yeah, fantastic day out there at Parramatta. Honestly, if you're looking for like an event or something to do with the boys or the family or whatever, we've actually got a few. I've got a Bucks lined up and then my missus is desperate to go to the Souths game out there. I might actually get you on that if you want to come along.
Yeah,
I'm down. So yeah, we're going to go to the Souths game. Got the Dragons game later in the year. So Parramatta doing some fantastic things in content. We've had contact with a few other clubs this week as well, which we'll get to soon.
Yeah.
Doing good things in content. But yeah, super exciting. Take me to Melbourne. What'd you get up to?
Yeah. So went to the Friday night Storm Bulldogs game. It was the first time I'd ever been to an NRL game down there. What I think is funny about Victoria as a state is that as soon as you enter, footy is no longer the footy that we know and talk about. It is AFL, which is always an interesting experience, especially telling people like what you do for work and whatnot. They just start to talk about AFL and I know nothing about it. But I took my friend Kat, who, yes, we have the same name. Melbourne Cat and Sydney Cat. We took on the game. We were a bit late, missed kickoff.
But, yeah, what happened there?
Melbourne traffic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it knocked us
the old
six.
Melbourne left hook.
Yeah, those hook turns.
Yeah.
They'll get you. Lucky Cat knew, you know, where to park and do all of that. But, yeah, we were late. Anyway, we went in and we sat near the kind of the kennel, whatever they had down at Amy Park. And it was really nice. The viewing is so good down there. It's quite reminiscent of CommBank and Suncorp. Those seats, that first elevation, I guess, you feel really close to the action. So we had some Doggies fans next to us who'd also come from Sydney. It was their first time seeing them play out of New South Wales. So that was kind of cool to do that with them. And then the game itself was amazing. I thought that the Bulldogs played really well. I think everyone expected Storm to win that one, but it was a real battle. We really enjoyed it.
Well, you're actually my eyes and ears for this game because I actually didn't get to watch this game.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, I was actually me and my missus went and stayed at the casino. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story. I already told Kat this one. But we went for dinner on Friday night, right? And we're sitting at this, you know, pretty fancy joint at the casino. What's it called? Black, I think it is.
Yeah,
like
Black.
A steak joint. So, I went down there. We sit at our table, you know, getting stuck into a couple of brewskis, a few cocktails, waiting for steak. Anyway, where I'm sitting, there's like another table about 2 meters away. And it's behind that table is like the city skyline. So I'm sitting there. There was no one at that table, had a clear view. Anyway, I'm talking to Beck. I'm checking the score on the footy. I'm watching the Supercoach side. I'm doing it all, Mr. the Swiss Army knife there at dinner. Mm-hmm. And then I look up and a couple had sat at the table opposite us. Literally 2 meters away, we were looking directly at each other. I looked up. It was Matty Johns and Trish. What on earth, Kat, are the chances?
I love it.
Of us sitting a table away from each other, looking directly at each other. Wild. Now, a bit awkward for me because I obviously know who Matty Johns is and I've met Matty Johns on a number of occasions, but every time I meet him, he's off his head. So I never know if he remembers me or not. So we had that awkward sort of looking at each other. Do I know?
You also said that you've often been introduced as Kempy's mate and it's like,
he's every time he's drunk, I think he recognizes me as Kempy's mate.
And it's, do I go up and say, hey, it's me, Kempy's mate?
Mm.
Or do you just go in?
Don't know what to do.
Yeah, like
also should be noted, Trish runs Maddie's Instagram. And when I first started Guru years ago, I was tagging people rapidly and shit. And Trish actually blocked me off the Maddie Johns. She's unblocked me now. So yeah, it was a bit and then
do you know when you were unblocked?
No idea. Oh, probably when I told Cooper at the footy last year and he pissed himself off.
He probably texted his mum.
Yeah, he thought it was hilarious. So I'm glad someone found it funny.
No, they definitely knew who you were, but there's a real thread of just humbling.
You also like you're out for dinner and stuff. You don't want to interrupt your blah blah blah. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious. For it to end up like that is wild. Myself and my missus then went into the casino, bet on our anniversary numbers 4, 14, 23. 4, thanks for coming. Bit of do re mi to take home with us there, Kat. A nice little night there. Had good fun. Now back to you in Melbourne. I really hijacked.
No, that's
your
fine.
Story there.
It's but honestly fine.
The one thing I love about Canterbury fans, Kat, is that one feels like 100.
Oh, absolutely. There was a little corner of Amy Park that was just all blue and white, and they had their flags, and a lot of the players came at the end and acknowledged that corner, which was really nice. But it was very clear that it was heavily purple, but they were so loud.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. And I was 100% backing the Bulldogs in this one. I love the underdog, and I wanted to see them do well, especially off the back of last week's performance. And it was nice to see them more or less able to back it up. And it was really just the score at the end of the day leaned Storm's way, but I still think the Dogs put up a really good fight.
Said it before and I will say it again, the loudest noise I've ever heard in my life was at the 2004 grand final when the Doggies won.
Mm.
When that siren went, it was just, yeah, I can still hear it. It was deafening.
Yeah. And also when Pappy got his ass in bin, it was so loud. Everybody was so just cheering. They were so excited.
Yeah, well, I saw you put that on the Instagram story, and me just panic stations because I have Pappy and Supercoach really sent me over the edge at dinner.
Well, it was only 10 minutes, so.
Yeah, but you lose 8 points, Kat.
Doesn't matter. We move on.
Oh, my God. What are we doing?
Move on. All right. Well, speaking of, I just did want to shout out. You mentioned James earlier. I do want to shout him out. Now, if you saw our socials at the end of last week and the week before, I unfortunately broke the Tom Trbojevic bobblehead, which was real unfortunate, and we were concerned it would be a bad omen for – but it wasn't. It wasn't a bad omen at all. He actually
performed – just the opposite.
Yeah, he performed very, very well. Now, last week we received from the Parramatta Eels a Campbell Gillard bobblehead, which we've not opened yet, and James actually said to keep it away from me, but it's nice and safe on my desk here, right next to the Guru bobblehead. Which are just remember I'm always in control of your fate right here. Anyway, so we both received some packages this morning from the Canterbury Bulldogs, and I knew mine was coming because they told me a little while ago that they were releasing the Bulldogs Monopoly, and we got it, and I'm really, really excited. We're obviously going to make loads of content with it. You can see on the back which players which. So I can confirm that your Mayfair properties are Steve Mortimer and Terry Lamb on blue, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, great selections there. Shout out to the Mortimers, our good mate Morts, Andrew Mortimer from Blue Wealth Property. He has got a walk coming out for charity over the next few days. We'll talk about it more on Beers and Breakevens this week. But, yeah, he's doing fantastic things there, so make sure you get around more. It's one of the great Canterbury families. Kat, I'm a big Monopoly guy.
This game could make or break us.
100%, without a doubt, as it should.
Yeah, I agree. But do you want to show everyone what you got?
Yeah, I would like to show everyone what I got, and I don't want to be a story topper. You went to Double Bay, I went to Triple Bay.
You've been story topping me this whole episode.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue to because this makes me very, very happy. So you might have noticed over the socials over the last week or so, probably 2 weeks ago now, I absolutely lost my mind over the Canterbury Bulldogs jersey. I absolutely loved what they did. As I said, that was the loudest noise I've ever heard that night in 2004 at that grand final. And the jersey they wore that night was, of course, their heritage jersey that they brought back the other day. So Canterbury sent one to us. We now got one in the studio. We should keep track, Kat, of which team's jerseys we've got. We should have like a game of bingo.
We
now got a South jersey. We've got a Doggies jersey. But this one is just all time. And it's even got across the top here, 3rd of October 2004, Bulldogs 16 defeat the Roosters 13. An unbelievable game that night. Obviously, Brad Fittler's last game in the NRL as well. Another reason why I remember that night so fondly. A little tough pill to swallow for me, saying goodbye to Frederick Fittler. But this jersey is unreal. I absolutely love it. The collar. Speaking of Freddie, I heard him blowing up about collars. Love you to bits, Freddie, but please shut up. Just let people enjoy something in life, for the love of God.
Like, if you're going to pull on a collar, you'll pull on anything else. Do you know what I mean? Like, that sounded really weird.
I don't know where we're going with this. I think all of a sudden Freddie might be a huge fan with the avenue we're going down here. I'll let you take the floor, Kat. Continue.
Well, you know what? I feel like this is actually a perfect transition
to what?
To Danica Mason and Kaelin Ponga's little incident that happened. Now, I'm just going to jump straight into it because
shout out to Canterbury for the Jersey Deer. We got derailed by Kat's little chicken and corn run down there that scared the living shit out of me.
But
shout out to the Canterbury Bulldogs. Absolutely love the jersey, and that will be proudly displayed in
the center the of
CBA
excellence.
Center of Excellence. Now, where were we? Something about pulling off or something or other. Kat, take us away.
So Guru hasn't actually seen this, and apologies for cutting you off there, but I felt it was necessary after you've just hijacked this whole episode so far. But if you could please scroll to the Danica Mason, Kalen Ponga link that I've provided you. Now, as I said, Guru's not seen this, and if you have, you know how funny it is. We had Adrian Petrovsky and Changa Boy 1977 both ask us to react to this on the episode today. So I'll let you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have a gaze now.
Were you thinking that you might have to come off, or were you pretty determined to stay on?
I'm never going to pull myself off. That sounds a bit weird, but I was never going to come off myself.
Was that the exact line we just said?
I don't know if it was subconsciously just in there because I knew what was coming up today, but we couldn't have had a more perfect conversation before this.
I hate it when that shit happens. I absolutely hate it when that happens and you're just caught up and you just want to grab the words and drag them back in.
Oh, my gosh. Danica handled it really well, but she did comment on one of the clips that went viral about this incident. Yeah. She then commented on it and just said, I have the worst poker face ever. And they were like, no, you did well. But I'm incredibly guilty of letting moments like that just go over my head. Like I probably in those moments wouldn't have even noticed what he said. Then I've gone and said it myself this morning, but it's only because it was planted.
I'll tell you, I absolutely love Danica Mason. I think she has added so much to rugby. I think she's hilarious. Her banter and stuff, it is absolute top shelf. I'm a big Danica Mason guy. Yeah. Big fan.
He's a big fan of Danica Mason.
Big Danica Mason guy.
Yeah, no, I love her. I think I agree. She's brought a lot of quality to the game, but she's very real and authentic. And even though she's in broadcast media where you can get a little bit more stale,
yeah,
she's not that at all. She brings so much energy and I love that.
No, completely agree. Big fan.
All right. Well, then let's skip over that one. So you've now seen it. You can say that you saw it. You mentioned Jason Tomalolo earlier. I just want to track back for a moment because you did tell me that there was a comment made about him at the end of that Parramatta North Queensland game that frustrated you a little bit. And I think the catch up, as much as it's catching up on the positive social media stuff and the funny things like Kalen Ponga and Danica Mason, I think it's also an opportunity for you to give your two cents on things that maybe you didn't like hearing.
Yeah, and look, Dean Ritchie, he's been a great journalist in rugby league for a very, very long time, but my God, we're just getting into areas of just yelling at clouds for no apparent reason over the last couple of years. Mm. And, you know, normally I don't really care, but, you know, as I said, I was lucky enough to be at that Parramatta North Queensland Cowboys game. I was standing, like literally standing on the sideline. And Jason Tamalolo was the last to go into the dressing rooms from the North Queensland Cowboys. He stood out there for about 25 minutes with his arms crossed, very, very disappointed. I literally saw the moment when these boys organised this photo. The boys came over to him, asked me if he would have it. He walked over, he put his arms around mates, and I'm sorry, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to stand there like he's at a funeral? He's having a photo with guys that he's played international footy with. Mm. It's just ridiculous. Like the guy was absolutely devastated. He stayed out there for 25 minutes after the game, you know, talking to fans and everything and blah, blah, blah. But he had his arms crossed. He had the shits the entire time. You could tell players were sort of walking up to him and sort of walking on eggshells around him. I just think it's so shit to take a photo when you're obviously going to smile for a photo when you're with mates, yeah. And then to just paint a picture that he doesn't care about the result. I just think It's just ludicrous and it's bullshit.
I think also that's an example of not giving a player the benefit of the doubt and not and being overly critical in a space where it's completely unnecessary because, as we discussed off camera earlier, it's footy.
Mm.
It's not – this is not life or death. I think there's enough going on in the world that we don't have to take a loss for a team as something that means that they can't even put a smile on their face.
Yeah, and, like, these are, like, guys that he would be really good mates with that, you know, when you're playing footy and stuff, you might see these guys – once or twice a year? Like, yeah. I just think this has been blown so far out of proportion. And once again, maybe this I just think it's a little bit aged that players have to be devastated after every single game and every single loss, which he was, by the way. We just chose to ignore that. You know, had I known this was going to happen, I would have taken some video for you guys of Jason standing there with the absolute shits. Him and James Maloney had a very tense conversation, not tense, but like a 10 or 15 minute conversation where you could tell they were going through the games, talking about certain moments and where it went wrong, et cetera, et cetera. When Jason Tamalolo wasn't on the field, he was prancing up and down the field, ready to get back on. Whenever Parramatta would score points or something would go their way, you could see the angst on his face. I mean, I just hate the you know what? This is the sort of journalism that will work too. There's a lot of people that will buy into this story because they're the only facts they're given, and it's just complete and utter crap. Yeah. It really is. So I'm glad that we have a platform where we can present the reality of the situation. Mm. It's just, yeah, I hate it when this sort of stuff happens, when it is just click grabby, negative rubbish that has just no substance to it whatsoever. Yeah.
And I think to your point, he wasn't happy. He's just putting on a smile. It's probably he's not associating the fact that he's catching up with a couple of mates just because the team just lost. It's not connected.
It's not connected.
It's trying to create a negative headline out of something that ultimately is just a human moment. It's a human experience when you see a mate and you smile.
Yeah.
And you take a photo.
And this is where, you know, Dean Ritchie would have sat down there looking for something to write. He could have written about Assi coming in and doing an incredible job, kicking the match-winning field goal for the side. Would it have got as many clicks? No. Nope.
Probably not.
Picked his target really well here. And that really annoys me. I just, I mean, you even look at the photo. He's no Luna Park. Like he's smiling, but he's not like, he's not having a great time. He's not enjoying himself. I mean, I just, and you know what I do love, Kat? I think like 5 or 6 years ago, the audience reading this would have just eaten it up and gone, what the fuck? But I think people now have enough context and they're applying enough common sense and they sort of know what journos are doing with this sort of stuff to be able to see through it to some extent. I love that in like the Punters and Dribblers page, I saw people just laughing at this article going, it is so ridiculous. It is so absurd. It's, just... I don't know what more to say, but literally I was sitting there watching it. If you think Jason Tamalolo was having a good time after that game, you've been sucked into a journo trap 101.
Yeah. Anyway, it's such an irrelevant headline. Now, something that I guess was reported on and we know that it was true was that there was an altercation between Ricky Stewart and Des Hasler. Now, I've provided a link for you there, but I think you already are across this story. But essentially, Hasler had taken an issue with the refereeing in the press conference after those two teams played each other, and it prompted a bit of a tirade from Ricky Stewart. And there is proof that they had a bit of an altercation off camera. It wasn't recorded. But thoughts on – I mean, look, we know that Dez and Ricky Stewart – they are probably two of the biggest personalities in terms of coaching in the NRL. And for them to face each other and then for there to be a refereeing issue as well, I feel like this kind of wrote itself.
Yeah, a really interesting one here, you know, and you have a look at these two guys. Obviously, they're two, you know, coaches in the game. But, like, for people that don't understand the context, obviously, Jesse has played for Manly. Ricky Stewart played for Canterbury, for Canberra, and then Canterbury at the back end of his career, mostly for the Raiders. Like, these two guys went on the 1990 Kangaroo Tour together.
Yeah.
These guys played for New South Wales together on a number of occasions. Like, they've, you know, they would have been around each other for a very, very long time. Like, going on a Kangaroo Tour with someone is a pretty bloody special thing. Mm. And, yeah, I just love that Ricky Stewart is who he is and he will never, ever change. And He goes, he brings the Gold Coast Titans down to Canberra, probably the toughest road trip of all time. The Titans have lost their best player for the season. They lost Jaden Campbell in that game. They haven't won a single game all year. Jesse Hasler's going to a place that traditionally hasn't had any success in the NRL. Jesse Hasler has a little bit of a whinge, and Ricky Stewart can't even just go, oh, he's having a tough trot, I'll let it go. He just rips him a new arsehole.
Not today.
It is just, Ricky Stewart is such an integral part of rugby league. Oh, it's not even funny.
It's when we had that conversation about the most integral players in each team, and Guru just straight up said Ricky Stewart for Canberra Raiders.
Tom and Eddie say it all the time that Ricky Stewart is just an ornament of rugby league. Like, yeah. It would just not be the same without him. Guys like him, Wayne, these sort of guys are just every 3 or 4 weeks, whether it's weak-gutted dog, whether it's an explosion here or there, whether it's fucking swearing and yelling at Des Hasler because he's having a tough trot. Like, I just love so much about Ricky Stewart. And I've seen a lot of people on social media jump on his bag. He's a dick. He's this. He's a bad person. Blah, blah.
Oh, come on.
Ricky Stewart, in the meantime, has been running one of the great charities in rugby league for a very, very long time. He's a fantastic person, Ricky Stewart. Does he let his emotions get the better of him at times? Yes, he does. But I'll tell you what, if I'm a Canberra Raiders player, I want the coach that's going to go into the trenches for me and that's not afraid to tell another coach to F off. Because that's the passion. That's what. And if you're coaching the Canberra Raiders, you can't sign any superstars. No one wants to go and live down there. You've got to have tough, gritty guys that are going to be there, and you know your coach is going to have your back. So I get it.
Ricky's the guy that you want in your corner.
100%.
100%. Now, this Fox Sports article, I wanted to read this out because it was it explains the tense exchange between the pair. So about 20 minutes after the game, after Des had done his press conference and blown up, he went to the Canberra Raiders dressing room and he wanted to see Ricky before Ricky went to his press conference. He wanted to man up and tell Ricky to his face that he had just sprayed the referee and wasn't happy and thought his team should have got the money. Ricky came outside and they stood there and had a reasonably heated exchange that went on for a minute or so. Once again, it's like a sitcom with those two.
And I wouldn't change it for the world.
Neither would I.
Two passionate rugby league guys. And this is what rugby league's about. You're not going to agree on shit. And I absolutely love that for a change, we've got two blokes that go and say it to each other instead of drop little breadcrumbs throughout the media during the week and have little sly digs. This is two men that have played the game at the toughest level and are mentally strong and can just go and find each other and go, hey, fuck you.
And they could probably have a beer after as well.
100% they could.
Yeah.
If they were to catch up this week, they would have a beer, they would sort it out and they would move on.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about rugby league.
Yeah, I love it too. And I'm going to transition to our next story. Speaking of not everyone agreeing, random stats guy, shout out to him because not only is his content amazing, but you work with him a couple of times a week. You see him quite a lot. I've worked with him for various charity matches and whatnot. So he's a lovely guy. But he just hit 30K milestone on his Instagram. Now, for those who don't know Random Stats Guy, check out his stuff. He's as named, he is all about the stats to do with rugby league. And I want to shout out this one video in particular that he made, which was a clap back at all the haters. This one was recommended by Brandon Savage. He told us to talk about this today.
Savs.
Yeah, good old Savs. Well, so this one, you'll see it on the screen, but this is just a gold response to the haters. And I wanted your reaction to it because obviously you've been in the rugby league social media space for a long time and sometimes you just need to clap back.
Yeah, and look, Rando, he cops a lot. You know, he'll put up his stats and his predictions based off the stats and people give him a lot of crap. Like, and, you know, when I put up my predictions and people give him crap, I'm like, you know what, fair, because that's my vibe and that's what I predict is going to happen. Yeah. Rando is literally providing you with stats. He is telling you what the stats say. If you don't agree with them, that's not Rando's fault. That's the stats' fault. So I imagine it must be super frustrating. But on the weekend, and I don't know what the entire context is, I think he put in his tips for the week based on stats, went 8 from 8 and just absolutely bombed everyone with this post here. I don't even understand the context, Kat. Like most things in pop culture, I've got no idea what it is. But my God, it caught my attention and I absolutely loved it all time.
Yeah, so this like AI meme is going viral. It's taken from a concert, but then everybody's just putting You can, the editing's unreal. It kind of freaks me out a little bit, to be honest, how real it looks at times. But it's just the best way to respond to these haters. And those tips are pretty crazy. And then I saw a comment, of course, on, you know, because obviously the Manly Warriors game, they were tied.
Yeah.
Someone was like, oh, you didn't get that one right. And he's like, a green tick is a green tick, bro. Like, just let it go.
It's really interesting with Rando. Like, a few years ago when he sort of came onto the scene, he caught my attention very early, Rando. And I actually, people that have been long time listening to the podcast remember, about 3 years ago, Kat, I was doing a podcast with him once a week where we'd sit down every Sunday night. He would go through his statistical team of the week. And what I'd do, I'd come with my team of the week and I'd guess it, and then he'd tell me what the stats said was the team of the week. And I actually dropped the ball about 6 weeks into it. I just got too busy one Sunday night, couldn't do it the next Sunday night, and we sort of dropped off of that. And it's one of my big regrets that I didn't keep doing that with Rando. He's obviously working with Timmy at SC Playbook now, doing fantastic things, and he's also on About Even with us, does unreal things. He's just gone full-time, Rando. So, I absolutely love being able to watch, you know, Rando's journey all the way through. He's a very good fella, a very good looking rooster as well. Played Harold Matts and SG Bull at the North Sydney Bears back in the day.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. He's actually, well, you would have seen on the charity day, very handy footballer, Rando.
He did a lot of the heavy lifting at the charity match.
Clive Churchill medalist, how good. Always been a huge Rando fan. I'm so glad to see him going full time and doing really well. How good's the day when you leave your 9 to 5, Kathmandu?
Oh, it feels great. I remember that day very fondly.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Very, very good. I think I remember talking to you in the lead up to your day, actually.
Yeah. I think I dropped some hints that I was going to make the move at some point. But I think to his credit, he's obviously waited until he's built up enough of a base to be able to go off and do his own thing. But there's a big risk in it too, right? 100%. Letting go of a secure job. I let go of a full-time, very stable. I knew it's that thing of, I know what next week looks like and I know what I'm going to be doing in 2 months' time. And in this job, it doesn't necessarily feel like that, but it doesn't feel like work either. So for me, it's worth it.
Yeah, completely agree. So shout out to Rando, full-time Rando we call him now that he's gone all in, which is great to see. One of the great blokes in rugby league, Rando.
Really,
it's such
is.
A niche thing to make something out of. It's unreal. It's so good. And he's just launched a Patreon, I believe he calls it, something rogue. We'll give
what
him shit on
mean?
About even the other day.
Is this
he
like
says the word weirdly.
It's like pecan and pecan.
Yes, he just says it weirdly, which I think is hilarious. And the boys absolutely gave it to him. But go and join his Patreon. He showed me it the other day. It's actually incredible. And it's themed like a early 2000, late 90s big league. Huge, huge fan of it. So make sure you go check out Rando's Patreon. You can find it on his Instagram page. Doing unreal things. Yeah. William Stutz guy.
Absolutely. Go check him out. Now, I want to dive straight into the guess roo.
Oh.
We've gotten to the end of the episode, but we've also gotten to the bit that everybody loves the most.
Let's do it.
So let's roll. Now, this one was sent in by Todd Greasley. Does the name ring a bell?
Yeah, it does. He's a big he's always been a big guru guy.
Love
Toddy.
That.
He's been following for quite a few years. So shout out to you, Toddy. Always appreciate you, bro.
Shout out to you, Toddy. And shout out to everyone who's been sending these guest roos in. You saved me some work. And you make life more exciting for us here at the CBA Centre of Excellence.
Love that.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's jump in. Question number one, or clue number one. I was born in 1980 in Western Australia.
Ooh, 1980 in Western Australia. So 1980 means that he is 10 years older than I, 12 years older than me. So he's about, what does that make him, 43? Yep, 43 years old. Okay. I've already got someone in mind simply because it's Western Australia.
Are you serious?
I've got someone in mind. Well, there's not many born in WA. There's one that I'm thinking of that I know is born in WA, but I'm not actually sure if he's 43. He probably wouldn't be far off. What year is it now? 2023. Oh, I don't think he'd be that old. 2024. I don't know if he'd be that old, actually. Next clue. Let's keep rolling.
If you, nah, okay, anyway, if you were to get that off.
The WA is a pretty unique thing. I know. There's not many guys. I know,
but that's still.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see, we'll see.
This is guru territory.
Yes.
I debuted in 2002.
Debuted in 2002. 1980, debuted in 2002. So he debuted when he was 22 years old. Interesting, okay.
You're a real mathematician, by the way.
Thank you. Just showing off.
Another clue?
Yeah.
Okay. I played for the Cowboys and Titans. Not just the Cowboys and Titans, but those are two clubs that have been provided.
Okay, it's not who I thought it was.
Okay.
So that's out. Shout out to the great James McManus, I think might have been born in. Now I'm actually questioning if that's true at all. Okay, so played for the Cowboys and the Titans. Is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys and Titans made his debut in 02. So he obviously – so he either made his debut with the Cows or he played for another club before the Titans. Okay. Yep, give me another clue.
At the time, I equaled a club record for most tries in a game with 4 versus the Bunnies.
Cowboys – Titans, I scored 4 tries against the Bunnies. Okay, so debuted in 2002. I remember watching one night a guy for Canberra named Marshall Chalk scored a heap of tries for the Canberra Raiders against South Sydney. I remember Nigel Vunganar scored a heap of tries against South Sydney one night. I imagine that if he's scoring 4 tries against South, probably in the early 2000s, I would say that night. This is interesting. Played for the Titans, was capable of scoring 4 tries, and was from WA. I'm trying to think of guys that have played for the Titans that were try scorers. You've obviously got like Matt the Rat Rogers. You've got Chrissy Walker. Yeah, played for the Cowboys as well. Gavin Cooper.
He didn't only play for the Titans and the Cowboys.
Yeah, but they're the two teams I know he played for. Okay,
great.
Okay, another clue.
I have played 8 games for the USA.
8 games for the USA. Okay, wow. 8 games for the USA. So guys that have played for the USA, I think Clint Newton played, Matty Peterson played, Junior Paulo might have had a game there for the USA as well. Matt Peterson, Sideshow Bob maybe? Is it Matt Peterson?
It is.
Matt Peterson, Sideshow Bob, one of the greats.
Yeah, and it's funny, the next question was that he has a nickname from The Simpsons.
Yeah, mad, yeah. Sideshow Bob. Very good player, Matty Peterson. Can you get up his career for me?
I'm looking at it.
So he obviously he scored 4 tries against South Sydney for Parramatta, I would say.
Yeah.
And then what? Who else? I don't have that much of a recollection of him playing for the Titans, to be honest with you.
Well,
so he played Parramatta, Titans, Cows, did he?
He played Cows, Eels, Titans, and then the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats.
Oh, yeah. He was part of the inaugural Titans side. What years did he play for the Titans?
07, 08.
Yes. He was part of the inaugural. Yeah, right. I think it was him and Chrissy Walker that were the wingers in their first game, potentially. Yeah. And he started at the Cows, did he?
Yep.
I forgot about that. How long did he play at the Cowboys for?
Well, he only played 8 games there. And it was in 02, and then same year, 02, he switched to the Eels.
Yeah, right, okay. What website are you on?
I'm on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, yeah, okay. Yeah. I actually think Matty Peterson, I could be wrong, but I think in the games he played for the USA, obviously he was a winger, Matty Peterson. I think there was a chance that he might have played like halfback or 5'8 in those games because obviously when you get to those sides
bit lacking in depth.
Lacking in depth. Guys have to jump around and whatnot. I could be completely wrong here. I'm about to get it up. But I've got a feeling that I actually didn't know he was from WA either. That didn't give it away. So he played – what did he play? 7 games for the USA and none of them at 5'8". Was talking straight out of my ass, Cat, so that was good. 3 games at fullback, 4 on the ding-a-ling. Matty Peterson, I like that. That's niche.
It's a really good one from Todd.
Yeah, I like that. Very good. Love
it. Well, guys, that's it. We've done the catch up. We genuinely caught up, which is great too. For those who don't know, this is quite literally the first conversation we have every week. So we are quite literally catching up on everything. But thank you again to Canterbury Bulldogs for sending in the kit. We love it. It's gorgeous. Look at you just styling it right now. And obviously for the Monopoly too, which we will be creating content for, absolutely. Really looking forward to that. And then, thank you for the guest room submissions. Send in any more. And, guys, the show was basically built out of everything that you guys wanted to see over the weekend. So thank you for sending in all of your requests.
Now, I don't want to give you any spoilers, but next week's episode, if all goes to plan, we have got an absolute cracker coming your way. Kat has gone above and beyond, as she always does. And this is actually a little bit of a hint.
It is a bit of a hint.
To some extent. So,
So if all goes to plan,
I don't reckon tell them.
I'm just going to say the catch up will it'll look a little different next week.
And it's going to be must watch shit. It is going to be unreal.
Yeah. It'll look a little different. I'll look a little different.
Yeah.
You won't even be there. It'll be epic. So stand by. Stay tuned for that.
I'm so excited for it.
Me too. All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Cheers, legends.
Until then, just keep sending in all your favorite bits. Bye, guys.